Good evening. Martine and I adjusted that. There was a movie years ago, did not see it. It was an epic long movie. It was called Quo Vadis or Quo Vadis. It was about the Roman times. The expression Quo Vadis means, where are you going? That is the title, the question, and the theme of tonight's lesson. I would like you to be attentive to God's word, and I hope to clarify that this is a choice, really, that we need to make each and every day. I was looking for some sort of a flow chart, and I was hoping to bring one that might be really convoluted, meaning it twists and turns and goes all over the place. And my idea was, okay, God is not the author of chaos. God, that we worship, is not the author of confusion. Therefore, confusion must emanate or be created by the liar. He was a liar from the beginning, that is Satan. So not to draw you too far off, I thought, could I get an image or a thought that is more like this? There is a straight path that leads to heaven. It is the simplest, and by simplest, I don't mean easy. God knew it would not be easy. Jesus told us, no servant can rise above his master. If our master and savior and teacher, Jesus Christ, suffered, and he was perfect under the old law, why, we can expect the same. Reviled by the men, despised by the world. So here is the bigger question. Are you on the upward path? Because all others lead to hell. It's a harsh reality. Where are you going? I may have included this some time ago. James Clear, in his book Atomic Habits, I included a little bit about that, pointed out that just 1% increase, that's the upward swinging gold arrow, the 1% of increase day by day, you compound that interest. We're not talking about money, though. You compound that. You get 1% better of 101% the next day, and so on. If you can just focus on getting better and better in Christ Jesus, the bottom is a 1% decline. 1% worse every day. Here's a number. You may not be able to read it very clearly, so I highlight it. At the end of 1 year, there is almost a 38% increase. So there's an old expression that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. That's true. And so we want to make sure first that we are on the right path and that we are stepping day by day. God's word is a lamp unto our footsteps, that we are using his word to guide our footsteps and to keep our footsteps firm. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry, Psalm 40. He set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. Many shall see and fear the Lord. We want to be on that upward path. We want to have the rock solid foundation that is Jesus Christ. 38% increase. Now, this is not a money-making thing, but would you like to take whatever, if you've got a dollar, to come up with at the end of the year about 38? If you've got a thousand, would you like to have a 38% increase? Do you see? How much more significant than your soul, your very soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So make sure you take interest, pun intended, in the Lord's work, and you invest your time and energy in the Lord's doings. God will give you increase. Again, where are you going? Are you going toward life and salvation, or ruin and further destruction? Remember, there are two gates. The big one is where the superhighway goes. You ever notice how many people want to see, and I don't know what it is about human nature, terrible wreck, and we might slow down and look, or we're curious what happened, and we want to make sure we're keeping a wide berth away from any BERTA, away from that road to destruction. Got a couple that have to do with life. In Proverbs 19 to 23, in the Proverbs you hear it again and again. Listen to wisdom. Listen to counsel. Pursue it. A brother once pointed out this is the word pursuit. It isn't just tag along. It isn't the tail wagging the dog, so to speak. We aren't just poking around. We're supposed to be pursuing it with the idea of getting it. And this is a good pursuit. If any man lacks wisdom, let him pray for it. Let him ask. God will give generously. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. This does not condemn worldly possessions. It's better to be poor and have your soul than to be a liar and lose it. See the distinction. Sorry. The fear of the Lord leads to life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Okay. I have provided some lengthier scripture readings for you. I encourage you to read. I like to get not just a single verse, but also get some of the context as well. So I provided that. But let me now jump to here. As I began to speak in Acts 11, 10 through 18, this is in verse 15. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did, That's the Holy Spirit. Remember this morning in the study? He, the Word, he was with God in the beginning. So he, God the Father, he, God the Son, the Word became flesh, and he, the Holy Spirit, did upon us at the beginning. Pentecost came upon the Jews who were the apostles. And I remember the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That is Holy Spirit baptism. That's what they, the apostles, experienced on that day of Pentecost, when the call of tongues or the tongues of fire came upon them. They were able to speak tongues, that is languages, in such a way that every man, woman, person, every man of every nation that was gathered there, the Jewish people, were able to understand in their language. If you want a description of this, you can go to Acts 1, read Acts 1, 2, the first two chapters. Okay. Now it's falling on Gentiles. It's to show that we who are not Jewish in the flesh are also approved. So it happens two times. to show that the Jews, the apostles, are approved, and then later that the Gentiles are grafted in. Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Who am I to resist, you might say. When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well, then God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Where are you going? Toward ruin and further godliness, ungodliness? In 2 Timothy 2, verses 10 through 16, here is a key point. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. He is admonishing and teaching Timothy, Paul is. He endures all things. He goes through so many trials, so many difficulties, beaten, whipped, jailed, despised. We may have heard the expression, beaten within an inch of my life. Maybe you've been on the wrong end of the stick on that one before. Do you know that there was a law on how many stripes someone could receive? And they would count them, it's my understanding, historically, it's one if it's, I've forgotten the number, but if it's 20 lashes, 30 lashes, and they count them out, one, two, three, and they would stop short, one short of the law, the legal limit, to ensure that they did not go beyond. That almost conjures up the idea of being beaten within an inch of Paul's life, which he endured, as well as shipwrecks. He had times of plenty and times of want and need, and he learned to be content. Think of the word content, and you might look at it and mispronounce it in context and say content. Table of contents, what's inside? The contents of a person's heart are what determines whether or not they are content. Is that scripturally true? If your sight is set on things above, then you can say, as did Paul, I endure all things. And he has learned to be content. Well, that's not ruin and ruination, but that's on that upward bound direction that we should follow. So where's the ruin? It's the opposite. How about I negate this and see what happens? For this and other reasons, I refuse to endure anything. For my own sake, not for others who were chosen. So that I can have what I want, and who cares about their salvation? They claim it's in Jesus Christ. You see how easy it is to turn the phrase and make it sound like the people still lost in this world. Sad, sad, that bitter way, almost, but almost. I give some analogies of running. I dearly loved it when I was able to. You know, I can run the best race. You can run the best race of your life. And if you come to that finish line and you stop, you step off the track and you walk away, there is not a single track and field judge that would say you finished in first place. In fact, DNF did not finish. Beware, did not finish the race. Or DQ, disqualified. We need to understand that if someone begins a race in Christ Jesus and doesn't finish the course, DNF, did not finish. We need to also understand that if someone refuses to endure, refuses to continue, refuses to be on that up or down trail that leads to salvation in Christ Jesus, that person is a DQ, disqualified. And let's remember the words, who am I? I'm going to paraphrase. Who are we to argue with God? So let's take it a few more steps. It's a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we die in Christ Jesus, we are buried with him. We are buried into his death. Baptized into Christ, baptized into his death. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Be thou faithful unto death. I always thought that meant unto, as in until. You probably heard me say this at least once. And a brother teaching, preaching said, maybe it was Hubert, show the Lord. It means even to the point of, at the point of a sword, be faithful. At the barrel of a gun, be faithful. At the mocking and jeering of the crowds, be faithful unto death. Well, then I would say, if we combine the two, we have to have the answer, whatever it takes. Sisters, brothers, friends, let us be faithful to the end and cross that line. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Here's a reminder. Paul's telling Timothy to remind others of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Folks, baptizo, that's my best understanding of how to phrase that, how to say it. Greek is not a language that I can speak. Who am I to argue with someone who does speak Greek fluently and knows quite well what the word means? Now, the word faith doesn't mean wash, but baptism does, or baptize. It means to immerse, dip, and wash. I can't help that. Greek is not my first language. I can't change what the language means. You hear the plea that I'm making is not to get you to change your mind away from what baptism means, but to speak to you in plain terms. Sisters, brothers, and friends, a Greek woman told me, you can ask someone else, what does baptizo, or however they pronounce it, what does that mean, from which we get our word baptism? And what was I told? It means to dip in water. It means to wash. I asked the woman, can it mean just sprinkling water? She said, no, that's not dipping. We know that. If you take a dip in the pool in the deep end, you're not just having someone spray a hose in your face. Now, these are plain terms we all understand. And notice how the two words are joined. So I ask this lady, is it correct then if I say I am baptizing the dishes? And she said, yes. If you're dipping them to wash them. None of that is just believe to dip and wash. It's a point worth thinking. So we ought not to wrangle about these words. These are first principles. They're spiritual milk. I remember telling Hubert Showalter, I don't think anyone could twist the scripture like figure whereunto, I know that's King James, whereunto baptism doth also save you. The like figure of the ark, which is a figure of baptism, which also saves you. Not the removal of earth from the plague. As baptism saves you. I said, Hubert, I don't see how anyone could twist that. He said, Mark, they can't. I guess I just didn't have confidence in how despicable and evil people can be if they want to wrangle about words. They insert the word not. Some groups will insert the word not when it comes to, and the Word was God, and the Word, Jesus, He was with God again, and the Word was God, and they insert the letter A. A, God. Why wrangle about words? It's that easy. Don't let people twist, turn, that's called perverting, change, wrangle about these things, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. That's not what I'm doing. I'm encouraging you to keep with what is established in Scripture. Who am I, then, if Jesus said, go, make disciples, baptizing them? Lord just gave me the way to go and make disciples. And then the work is not finished. And teaching them, do we say, go, make disciples, skip baptism, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever? Do we skip all that? Should not. If it was good for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Come on, to argue. Okay. Be diligent to present yourself approved. Study to show thyself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth, but avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. If you're in a discussion and you get to a point where it's no, 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 after a while, I need to realize, if I keep knocking on the door and no one's answering, yeah, but I saw Starla inside the house. I can bloody my knuckles, but if she refuses to open the door, what's my time, my effort, my knuckles worth? How about instead of this, I look for someone who's like this? You see? Same hand. Instead of looking for this and trying to force, how about we look for this? Do you understand? Look for the open hearts. Try to reach everybody, but realize at a certain point, our Lord, in Pontius Pilate's court, or definitely in his presence, Jesus came to a point. He had said what his kingdom was. It is not of this world. If it were, I could call in legions of my soul. That's me. I can call in my army. But it is not of this world. He speaks the truth. He is asked, what is truth? He's suffered. He's run the limit of where that can go. Okay. Salvation. So back to the good. Is the road you're on leading to salvation, 2 Timothy 3? Well, we know smack, almost smack dab in the middle of this, 2 Timothy 3:16. If you want to start learning memory verses, right there is a good one. The scripture being God-breathed. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I don't want to ruin a thought that I wrote in my notebook for a future sermon, but I can't resist sharing this. I can see your intrigue. Christianity is not for cowards. It is simple, the straight and narrow. It is not easy. There's a difference. It's simple. It isn't chaotic and complex. This leads to this. This. Everything else leads to that. This is on the upward trail. This one's on the downbound spiral. One of the most beautiful things is, no matter where you are in that pit of destruction, there's always opportunity to say, hey, I just want to get out. My dad used to have a phrase. He said, please, just stop the merry-go-round and let me off. Because as much noise as that calliope or that merry-go-round's making, it's going nowhere. Okay? Didn't mean to spoil the fun there. Christianity, though, is not for cowards. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Discharge your duties. If that sounds like toxic masculinity, sisters and friends, would you not want a man to be strong in the Lord and loving? It's combined. We're not talking about being a browbeater. Quit ye like men. And if you know Ken, but he and I spoke before. He said, Mark, do you realize we've been on the phone for almost 2.5 hours? Wonderful, wonderful discussion, conversation. He's a brother in Christ and now lives or worships with the Park Road Church. But Hubert was for many, many years. Quit ye like men. Be act like men. Be strong. Sisters, you got to be strong too. So this is not just a God of power over women. That's the wrong understanding. We are to speak the truth in love as well. Okay. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad words, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continuing the things you have learned, this is to Timothy, to then go and do likewise, and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned it, and from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. The name Joel Osteen does not appear in this text. Billy Graham is not the author and finisher of my faith. Joe can encourage me, but he cannot save me. There is one and only one. We are commanded to encourage one another and spur one another on to good works. No doubt about it. But all things considered, we have to check it. Does it check with the Bible? Does it mesh with what Scripture teaches me? Having a few difficulties here. Not this morning, but tonight. Okay. All Scripture is inspired. I want to teach you a little bit. I didn't know this until I began to learn some French. A vacuum cleaner is called an aspirator. That sounds like something is breathing, like a breathing machine. It's breathing up the dirt and the debris. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. How did God put life into Adam? He breathed into his nostrils, breathed life. There is life breathed into, inspired into, put into the content of the Word. It's profitable. What does it profit one to study it? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. The King James says, thoroughly furnished. We've changed that in just a letter and put thoroughly in today's day and age. Fully equipped, completely ready. There are two gates. The Stairway to Heaven song is not telling the truth. There are two paths you can go by. There are many, many, many paths. But in the end, we find that all these lead to destruction. There's only one way. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want to them to treat you, for this is the law of the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule. Before people thought of it in the 1800s or 1900s, Jesus didn't think it up. Jesus already knew it. I may have shared this with you, but it's worth repeating and working to that day. I had a young brother in Christ, a baby in Christ. His first name was Adam when I was in college. He said, "You know, Mark, I think Jesus had a lot of the scriptures memorized." And I said, "Brother, I think he knew them all because he was the Word with us. He knew it all. He's the Word with us. If the Word tells you, go, make, baptize, teaching them, do not get discouraged. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Hear ye him." God in heaven said, "Hear ye him." On that Mount of Transfiguration. Twice he says and declares, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That is baptism. The Transfiguration. That is Transfiguration. God the Father says, "Hear ye him." What more do we need? If he's the way, we don't really need another. There are narrow gates, wide gates. The wide, the broad way leads to destruction. Few find the narrow gate. Unlike what the world might want to claim, that we're all getting there on different paths. That's not biblical. There's one path that matters, all else are destruction. Baal will not help. Beelzebub will not carry me there. He'll carry me to destruction. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Every tree bears, so every good tree bears good fruit. But the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. There are many scriptures here. I encourage you to read them, to study them. One time I combined this in, it was a separate sermon, but I'm not going to take a full sermon time to tell you about it. There are many times the word "low" is there. I'd like to say it does not mean "whoa," but in a way it surely does. If it is woe unto you, stop right there. Woe! Since William's sitting up here, stop in the name of the law. The law of Christ is telling you to stop. Halt. Do not go in there under peril of death. Hear ye him. What are those who call evil good and good evil? Mark Wills in Nidberg, Germany. Most of the Lord's people who were in that congregation were in the military. Martine and I and the children would go up there. Mark is the first one that told me about this scripture. I didn't. Beware of or woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Hear me, him. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed. Sound like some of the religions at sword point. And on and on and on it goes. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake. What does that mean? They're idols. Awake. This is your teacher. To a mute stone, arise. How dense in the mind, or how foolish in the heart, or how cold and hard in the heart must one be to make something out of anything, stick, paper, wood, stone, and then call on God, a teacher, and expect it to do something for them? Well, that was way back there. Really? Haven't you heard of healing stones? I'm not talking about heating the stone and putting it on pressure from that. That's different. That's applying pressure or applying heat. I'm talking about if you carry this or if you rub this, it's going to genie in the lamp. What are people doing? We're talking about the 2000s, not just the year zero. Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut up the kingdom of heaven for people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Here's the point. Whom God has accepted, we are not permitted to reject. That does mean, she did a boo-boo. She did something wrong. He sinned. That's not what we're talking about. But if someone is your brother or your sister in good standing, if they're good in the eyes of the Lord, they need to be good in our eyes too. And we welcome them. If they are not, we need to, in a loving, kind, and strong manner, we need to go to such a point. But they are making, they search and search and search for one proselyte, one convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Harsh words for harsh people who refuse to listen. When they're stopping their ears, ripping their clothes, yes, ripping their robes, when they can't stand the truth to be told, what are you going to tell them? And Jesus just slaps them across the mouth with it. Woe to you. You blind guides who strengthen the gnats while looking. For the gate is small and the way narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matthew 7:14. Remember this. The narrow path is a lonely one, or can be at times. Be prepared to lose many on the way. People who will not go the distance, who will drop off, who will tire, who won't have their focus right. This I would argue against. We are not lonely if we are not God's own. I am not here lonely tonight. Neither are you. Want to be the one? Are you the one of men? What will your answer be? The plan of salvation is clear, crystal clear. You need more than one example, more than one is given. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Will you obey tonight? Why not tonight? Let's stand and sing.